Our Bible reading is from the New Testament book of Matthew. From chapter 4, we will read verses 12 through 23. In the New King James Version Pew Bible, we're on page 1378. Before we read, let us pray. Speak, Lord, for your servants listen. Amen. Matthew 4:12. Now when Jesus heard that John had been put in prison, he departed to Galilee. And leaving Nazareth, Jesus came and dwelt at Capernaum, which is by the sea, in the regions of Zebulun and Naphtali, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, "The land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, by the way of the sea beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles, the people who sat in darkness have seen a great light, and upon those who sat in the region in shadow of death, light hath dawned." From that time Jesus began to preach and to say, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brothers, Simon called Peter and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. Then Jesus said to them, "Follow me, and I'll make you fishers of men." They immediately left their nets and followed Jesus. Going on from there, Jesus saw two other brothers, James the son of Zebedee and John his brother, in the boat with Zebedee their father, mending their nets. Jesus called them. And immediately they left the boat and their father and followed Jesus. And Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing all kinds of sickness and all kinds of disease among the people. God's word for God's people. Thanks be to God. The owner of the National Basketball Association's team, the Dallas Maverick, offered a Chicago sports talk host $100,000 to legally change his name to Dallas Maverick. In addition, he would donate $100,000 to the man's favorite charity. After some soul-searching, the radio host held firm and told the owner no. He explained, "I'd be saying I'd do anything for money, and that bothers me. My name is my birthright. I'd like to preserve my integrity and credibility." Marvin Williams shared that story in our Daily Bread reading for January the 20th, 2026, and he explained, "Just as a radio host's name is his birthright, early believers in Jesus took on the name Christian as their spiritual birthright. The early believers lived so much like Christ that people who didn't even believe in Jesus called them Christians. Christians belong to Christ. No amount of money, suffering, or abuse should cause us to compromise that name. We have a responsibility as God provides what we need to live every day to bring honor to the name of Christ." In our scripture reading today, we're at the beginning of Jesus' ministry. John the Baptist had been put in prison. He had prepared the way, and his ministry was decreasing. It was time for Jesus' ministry to increase. He left his hometown of Nazareth for Galilee. Leaving Nazareth, Jesus came and dwelt in Capernaum, which is by the sea, in the regions of Zebulun and Naphtali. Zebulun and Naphtali were two of the tribes of Israel. These regions are where they dwelt when Israel entered the Promised Land about 1,400 years before Jesus. It was land by the Sea of Galilee. It's not like an ocean, like we might think, but an 8-mile wide, 13-mile long lake with flowing water from the mountains. The two tribes had never fully conquered the Canaanites. Now, certainly during the reigns of King David and King Solomon, and then the kings of the 10 northern tribes, they were under Jewish rule. Yet with a mix of Gentiles and later a conquering of the Assyrians, they were known as a land of the Gentiles. However, the prophet Isaiah in Isaiah 9, 1 through 2, spoke of how God would do a great thing and bring in a great light. "Nevertheless, the gloom will not be upon her who is distressed. The land of Zebulun, the land of Naphtali, by the way of the sea, beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles, the people who sat in darkness have seen a great light, and upon those who sat in the region and shadow of death, light has dawned." Rather than beginning his ministry in Jerusalem, the region of Judea, which would be considered the center of religious significance, Galileans were the first to glimpse the Messiah coming with the dawning of God's new covenant. Jesus was fulfilling Old Testament prophecy, as the emphasis would be upon the good news of salvation for the whole world. The Jews and the Gentiles were to be welcomed. From that time, Jesus began to preach and to say, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." In his commentary on Matthew, John MacArthur wrote, "The darkness in which people live was the darkness of sin and evil." Jesus was saying, "The great darkness has been upon you because of the great darkness that is within you. You must be willing to turn from that darkness before the light can shine in you." To turn from sin is to repent, to change one's orientation, to turn around and to seek a new way. It's to change the way a person sees something. To repent is to change the way a person looks at sin and also the way the person looks at righteousness. It is to have a change of heart, which will change one's behavior. Jesus will invite us to change our hearts and our world by inviting us into his heart and into his world. Ray Winkler and John Hathcock wrote the song "Welcome to My World." With a smooth tune, it was recorded by Jim Reeves in 1960. It's also recorded by such artists as Elvis Presley. The words have a spiritual significance to them. "Welcome to my world. Won't you come on in? Miracles, I guess, still happen now and then. Step into my heart. Leave your cares behind. Welcome to my world, built with you in mind. Knock and the door will open. Seek and you will find. Ask and you'll be given the key to this world of mine. I'll be waiting there with my arms unfurled, waiting just for you. Welcome to my world. Waiting just for you. Welcome to my world." Jesus left his heavenly world to step into our earthly world. He did so to invite us into his world, the kingdom of heaven. We enter the kingdom here on earth. Yet it also has a significance for us in that Jesus is waiting, and one day he will welcome us into his heavenly home. Jesus has the key to the kingdom of heaven. Jesus is the key. Anyone who will believe in him for the forgiveness of their sins and the salvation of their life will belong to him. We will enter Jesus' world by receiving him into our hearts. Our scripture reading is at the beginning of Jesus offering that invitation. He's beginning to call people to follow him. Now, while it's not a huge body of water, the Sea of Galilee at that time was probably host around 240 fishing boats. Additionally, much fishing was done from the shore. In that day, three methods of fishing were used. One was by a hook and a line, and the second was to throw a net cast from the shallow water along the shore. And the third was by a large dragnet strung between two or more boats. This would be in the deep water. Well, as Jesus walked by the Sea of Galilee, he called two brothers. Simon called Peter and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. It would seem that day that Peter and Andrew were using the second method of casting, or throwing a net, which was probably about 9 feet in diameter. They're either standing in shallow water on the shore and throwing the net into the deeper water where the fish were. But Jesus said to them, "Follow me, and I'll make you fishers of men." The Gospel of John, which we read last week, shares the story of how Andrew was standing with John the Baptist when John declared Jesus to be the Son of God. So Andrew went out and he found his brother Simon, saying, "We found the Christ." Andrew brought Simon to Jesus, who gave Simon the name Peter, a stone. This calling of Jesus by the Sea of Galilee, this is probably not the first time that these fishermen had seen Jesus. Yet their response is still one of breathtaking, total obedience. They immediately left their nets and followed Jesus. They left their nets of fishing for fish to accept Jesus' invitation to follow him and to fish for people. Fish for people, catch people for the kingdom of God. Now, just as there's more than one way to fish for fish in the Sea of Galilee, there's more than one way to fish for people. Fishing for people is drawing people toward God. Then going on from there, Jesus saw two other brothers, James the son of Zebedee, and John his brother, in the boat with Zebedee their father, mending their nets. And Jesus called them, and immediately they left their boat and their father and followed Jesus. These fishermen left their boat, their nets, their livelihood, and their family to follow Jesus. That is faith. In his commentary, John MacArthur notes, Jesus did not simply demand his disciples to become fishers of men, but he promised that he would make them fishers of men. As Jesus would make clear on more than one occasion, that promise was also a caution. Not only was he willing to make them into disciples, but they would never be effective in bringing others to Christ without Jesus' power. Jesus said, "I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, he bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing." Now, while we assume that these disciples had little education, including little formal religious training, they had qualities from fishing that can help make a good evangelist for sharing the good news of salvation, the good news of Jesus. First, a fisherman learns patience. It often takes time to find a school of fish, so one learns to wait. And second, a fisherman must have perseverance. It's not simply a matter of waiting patiently in one place, just hoping the fish will eventually show up. It's a matter of going from place to place and sometimes back again over and over. And then third, a fisherman must have good instincts, going to the right place at the right moment to drop the net. And then fourth, a fisherman must have courage. Commercial fishermen, certainly ones such as those on the Sea of Galilee, frequently face considerable danger from storms and various mishaps. When Jesus called the disciples to commit themselves to follow him, he committed to train them. Jesus went about all of Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, healing all kinds of sickness and all kinds of disease among the people. Those who claim their birthright in Christ will do well to accept Jesus' calling and follow him. It would seem from many accounts in the gospel that at first none of the disciples had a passion for winning souls or any of the Lord's work. Sometimes their response to unbelief was to call for instant divine destruction. Luke 9:51-56 cites that James and John, those very disciples who willingly left their father and followed Jesus, but when the Samaritans weren't willing to receive Jesus, they wanted to rain down fire on the village. But Jesus told them that the Son of Man did not come to destroy lives, but to save them. The disciples developed compassion, humility, understanding, patience, and love as they learned from and obeyed Jesus. Like those early disciples, we will not always do everything as we should when answering God's call. But God will continue to work with us, as God always has with all those who follow God. Jesus Christ has invited us into his world. He's invited us into the kingdom of God. Let us preserve our integrity and our credibility. Let us wear our birthright of Christian with dignity and honor. Now, that's not to say that sometimes we might face distress or persecution or trying times, but even in the midst of it, let us continue to follow Jesus, for he has called each one of us, saying, "Come, follow me." Let us pray. Lord Jesus, thank you for calling us to follow you. Help us to invite people into your world. Help us to be a pleasing Christian in your sight. In your name, amen.